Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 178 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about the use of probiotics for eczema in little ones. I know that most of the time I talk about matters that usually pertain to adults, but it's nice every once in a while to get one of my colleagues on who can really speak to the experience of working with and supporting little ones, so babies and children. This is not my area of expertise because, as you guys know, I do not actually work with children in my practice, but some of my colleagues do. And so today we have back one of my friends and colleagues, Jennifer Brand, who's going to share with us how she has found probiotics to be incredibly helpful in her very young eczema clients. And if you're new to the show and haven't heard Jennifer on the Healthy Skin Show before, allow me to introduce you to her. Jennifer Brand is an integrative and clinical nutritionist and founder of Jennifer Karen Brand Nutrition. She specializes in childhood skin rashes, eczema in particular, food allergies and sensitivities, as well as gut problems. She has her own experience living and struggling with gut problems and disordered eating, as well as family members who deal with issues like psoriasis and vitiligo that she really got frustrated trying to help them figure it out from a conventional standpoint. And so she's gotten incredibly creative, and she really loves helping parents as well as little ones get back to healthier skin. So without further ado, let's dive into the conversation. Thanks so much, Jen, for coming back on the show. We really appreciate it. You're one of my favorite guests to have on the show, especially when we're talking about little ones. And it's just such an honor to have you back.
Thank you so much, Jen. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So today I really wanted to talk to you about the interaction between, I mean, this is kind of microbiome based. And as many of you know, we talk a lot about microbiome issues on the show and the impact that it can have, also the relationship that it has with healthy or unhealthy skin. And so in children, it's a little different than adults, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. But what I really wanted to dive into was how probiotics can be helpful for little ones, so babies and young children, when their parents are essentially struggling with this whole eczema picture that has erupted on their child, and the child is really miserable. So first of all, Jen, I think this is a good question to ask you. Out of all the cases you see, what do you feel is the percentage of babies and children where the microbiome is one of the number one problems?
So because of the skin-gut connection, which if we have time, we can get into that too, but there is a pretty significant connection between what's happening in the gut and what's happening on the skin. So in 100% of my clients, and my clients are typically little ones with eczema. And so in all of these clients, I conduct comprehensive digestive stool testing. And in 100% of them, we see gut dysbiosis, which are imbalances in the gut microbiome. So I do find that by addressing what's happening in the gut, we can get some resolution to what's happening on the skin. And I want to point out too that I know a lot of parents out there are really focused on diet and taking foods out of the diet and making changes there. And I want to caution with that. I think it's a good place to start. And some of the areas where I advise parents in terms of diet is, okay, you know, let's take out the common triggers first, which are gluten and dairy, eggs for a lot of little ones. And then, you know, if somebody has had allergy testing done, some of those foods, it might be helpful to take them out of the diet as well. But beyond that, when we start taking food after food out of the diet, and, you know, especially when we start taking otherwise healthy foods like certain fruits and vegetables, The diet becomes smaller and smaller and more restricted, and we start to risk nutrient deficiency in little ones. And this is extremely detrimental. It's detrimental for anybody. You know, our bodies run off of nutrients from foods we eat. That's our fuel. If they are missing, imbalances develop and symptoms and health problems follow, including skin rashes. And little ones are also growing and developing. So really the last thing we want to do is take foods out of the diet. We want to keep the diet as comprehensive as possible. And this goes for mom as well, especially if mom is nursing, because baby gets those nutrients. Mm. So by the time most folks come to me, by the time people find me, they've tried lots of diet, made lots of diet changes. A lot of folks have been on restrictive diets for extended periods of time, you know, even the little ones. And, you know, food is not the root cause of the problem, especially if you've taken out those main triggers and there's still issues. You've got to look at the gut microbiome. I do find that that is the number one root cause of skin rashes like eczema in the babies and children that I see in my practice.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to make too, because there's a level of suffering. You have to ask yourself, how long do you want to allow the suffering? Because that's essentially what it is. I mean, being a person who struggled with eczema for 3 years, it's suffering. It was suffering as an adult. I cannot imagine being a little one or young child, not able to fully verbalize and not being able to, you know, have all of the mental faculties that we develop as we age and become adults, to be able to handle that. And so you have to ask yourself, like, how long do you want to really go through that? Because also too, manipulation of the microbiome and supporting it or rebalancing it also takes time. It's not a fast process. And so that's something you have to take into account. Let's touch on something that you mentioned, this gut-skin connection. What is that from your perspective working with little ones? What do the parents need to know?
Well, so the gut microbiome, when we're talking about the gut microbiome, this is really all of the microbes, so bacteria, fungi, protozoa, viruses that live within the digestive tract. And, you know, when we're talking about looking at what's happening in there with a comprehensive digestive stool test, we're really looking at what's happening in the large intestine. The gut microbiome of humans, like, it's evolved with us for thousands of years, and it plays huge roles in different activities that happen in our body, including digestion and nutrition, detoxification, huge role with immunity and the immune system. And it really influences whether or not we're healthy or develop illness. Mm-hmm. And there's tons of scientific evidence in addition to, you know, our clinical experience here, right? But a lot of scientific evidence that shows us that the gut microbiome plays a role in how other organ systems function or don't function appropriately. And this includes the skin. And there is a particularly complex connection between the skin and the gut. And this is, you know, why I do recommend that we've got to check what's happening in the gut if there are skin rashes in your little one. And, you know, there's some interesting studies too about what's happening in the gut and the development of eczema. One in particular, that a study found that gut bacteria during the first 3 years of life plays a role in the development of a strong and healthy immune system. And so immune systems that are not strong and healthy actually can result in the development of allergic conditions like eczema, even food allergies and asthma. And also in those that do have eczema, it's been found that levels of good gut bugs tend to be lower and levels of not so good gut bugs tend to be higher compared to levels of those certain bugs in people without eczema. So there are lots of connections between what's happening on the gut and the skin.
And while I would encourage everyone who's really new to this, if this is the first episode that you're ever hearing, Jen and I did another episode, which we'll link to in the show notes, on how mom's microbiome, and this is not to put any blame on mom, it just is what it is, but mom's microbiome can have an impact on baby's microbiome. And so a lot of times people say, but I don't understand, how did my child end up with this dysbiosis? And it can come from a few different ways, right, Jen?
Yeah, there are some, so breastfeeding. So number one, I want to put this out there. This is not suggesting that anybody stop breastfeeding. You know, we want to nurse as long as we possibly can, as long as it's healthy for mom and baby. And what happens though, and breastfeeding is protective, and there's a lot of research on this that shows that it is protective against the development of certain types of infections and overgrowth and things of that nature. However, there are certain things that can get through to baby. So of course, you know, food triggers. So if mom is eating gluten, you know, that can get transferred to baby, that can be a trigger. So food triggers, of course, but then there is also research that shows that H. pylori can possibly be passed, as well as candida or yeast, fungal type issues can be passed from mom to baby. So those are things that I do see commonly between mom and baby. So when I'm working with a little one, depending on the age of the little one, sometimes we might explore what's happening with mom as well. Sometimes there are similarities, and actually sometimes there aren't. So it's very interesting, and each case is very different, which is one of the reasons why it's always so important to work with a practitioner to dig into the specifics of your case, because really everybody is different. There are some common threads, but I do not have any two clients that are on the exact same protocol.
Yeah. And you have had clients where you've told me about, we talked about, I think in the last podcast, that you've had clients with C. diff, like little kids with C. diff. You've had clients with all sorts of parasites, and they keep getting reinfected with the parasites over and over again, because obviously as we orient ourselves in the world, babies touch everything. They put everything in their mouths, and it can become difficult from that perspective. So that's another avenue where the gut microbiome can become disturbed.
Yeah. And I have seen in some of the little ones that I've worked with where we do see very high levels of C. diff and C. diff toxins on the stool testing. In those cases, the little one, because the C. diff toxins and C. diff infections are often associated with antibiotic use. And so that little one in particular may have been on antibiotics themselves, or I've also seen it where mom was given doses of antibiotics in the hospital during labor or something of that nature. And then, you know, baby ends up, you know, with that, those types of bugs in the gut. So that's something that I see happen as well. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about probiotics. I think it's a really important thing to understand that probiotics can be very helpful, especially in little ones. They're usually not, I would say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't work with little ones. Mm-hmm. I work with adults, but I don't think it's a full fix, but it is helpful and supportive depending on what's going on. And there's some really cool research coming out to show the benefits of appropriate supplementation of probiotics. So yeah, Jen, what are your thoughts on some of that? Yeah.
Well, okay. So probiotics can be helpful. And I think that's a very good point that you bring up, is that, you know, I think we need to be clear that probiotics alone are not going to resolve what's happening in the gut. Neither, for example, is something like L-glutamine. So when we are addressing gut microbiome imbalances, probiotics are a piece of the puzzle. They're an important piece of the puzzle, but probiotics alone, I have not seen solve the problem. So for those, let's back up a tiny bit just in case we need to, but probiotics, yeah, what they are, so they're actually live microorganisms like either bacteria or yeast, and they provide health benefits when we take them in, you know, when we consume them, generally by either improving what's happening in the gut or, you know, restoring balance in there. And they're really considered generally safe. However, something else that I think is really important to point out is that not all probiotics are created equal. And especially when we are talking about skin rashes, there are certain strains of probiotics, for example, that actually create histamine. If we're talking about, you know, allergic conditions, being itchy and rashes and such, one of the last things we really want to do is add histamine, because histamine is, you know, what triggers some of those allergic symptoms that we have. So some probiotics can actually increase levels of histamine. Some probiotics too, I very rarely So a lot of probiotics, right? They're the bacterial strains. And I rarely use in the population that I work with a bacterial strain probiotic. And also that's because I find that when we have these types of things happening on the skin, when we take a look at the gut, not again, everybody's different, but often I see in the stool testing overgrowths of bacteria. Mm. So if you have overgrowths of certain things in there, I don't necessarily want to add more. So what I tend to look at are, okay, what's happening in the gut? And the types of probiotics that I typically do recommend are either spore-based, which aren't necessarily adding more bacteria. They help seed the gut so that the good stuff can grow. And then depending on the findings on a stool test, a yeast-based probiotic, which sounds weird, but it's not. So like, right? People are like, oh my gosh, but am I going to get candida or something? No. So S. Boulardii is one that I use frequently. For example, it's a non-pathogenic yeast. And it's actually, it can be helpful against things like it helps lower levels of H. pylori, Clostridia, and it can actually help improve gut immune function. So depending on what's happening, what I see in the test, if those are things that need to be addressed, I might recommend, you know, the S. Boulardii as a probiotic.
Can I just also ask you, because I am asking because I legit don't know, because I don't work with little ones. In that instance, if somebody's listening to this, like, ooh, maybe I should give that a try, it does depend on stool consistency, correct? Because in adults, I don't give that to somebody if they're constipated.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the main indications and one of the primary things that S. Boulardii has been scientifically researched and found beneficial for is antibiotic-associated diarrhea. So yes, so it can help bind you up a little bit. So when I see those types of findings on the test, I should add too, and Jen, I know this is the case with you as well, but when we work with clients, we're not just doing testing and, you know, giving people protocols and supplements to take. We're doing an in-depth history and review of everything we can possibly find out about the person so that we can make the best recommendations possible. And so, yes, absolutely. You know, those are things that we assess. It's like, okay, well, what are the bowel movements like? You know, how often are we going? Is there any constipation? So those are things to take into account as well.
Yeah. And so, so as far as a spore-based probiotic would be concerned, what is something that you use in practice?
So my go-to happens to be Megaspore Biotic. It's by Microbiome Labs. It's something I've been taking myself for years, actually, too. I find that it works very well. It doesn't cause the types of things that I would be concerned about, you know, if we were using a multi-bacterial strain probiotic. So I really do like the spores, you know, and again, they are just really helping to seed the gut and rebalance what's happening in there versus adding in that extra bacteria. And there is some research on it too, actually, that spore-based probiotics really have been shown to promote diversity of gut microbes, which having diversity in there is important. The spore-based probiotics can help us maintain the good ones in there. Again, something you really want to see. And then also reduce symptoms that are associated with gut hyperpermeability, which is leaky gut. And I know we're not going to get into this one today, but you know, leaky gut and this gut hyperpermeability is an underlying issue when we have skin rashes. Spore-based probiotics are, you know, work pretty broadly to help rebalance what's happening in the gut microbiome.
And for someone who wants to give them a try, like for an adult, the recommended dosage is 2 capsules a day, which you slowly work up to. But I think another important thing to remember here is that children are different than adults. They are much, 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 much smaller people, depending on their size, their age, their weight. So in babies and children, what do you generally recommend as far as like if somebody wanted to try Megaspore, how would they even begin to start adding that in? And sort of, do you have any general suggestions about, is it based off of weight or what have you?
Yeah. So the gut microbiome is mature at about 2 years of age. So That means not in all cases, but this is specific to what I'm talking about here with Megaspore. So at 2 years of age and up, you can work up to the full 2 capsule a day dose of the Megaspore biotic. And what you want to do, so less than 2, you can do a full capsule. And so the way that we want to introduce this, because it is potent, which means that some people can have die-off symptoms when you add it too fast. So what I typically recommend is week 1, and this is the same for adults and children. We want to start slow. So week 1, you open the capsule, you do about 1/4 of a capsule every day. Week 2, you go to 1/2 a capsule every day. Week 3, 1 capsule every day. Stop there if your kid is less than 2 years old. Week 4, 1.5 capsules. Week 5, 2 capsules, and then you can maintain that. This information too, by the way, I have a guide on my website. I think we're going to provide the link to that for people, but it's my guide to probiotics for skin rashes. And then it has that in there. So it has that recommendation, what I just said. Yeah. So people can look that up.
And do you also have suggestions in the booklet for people about how, because obviously a baby's not swallowing a capsule. So about how to integrate it in, because I'm not, don't everybody, like, you're going to have to ask Jen, not me, because I don't work with kids. I don't know why I have to keep repeating this, but I do. And I want to make sure that people are aware that it is very important, whomever you work with, if you have young children and babies, you have to work with someone that works with that population. They are much different than adults.
They are. Thank you for pointing that out, Jen. So true. But yeah, so, and one of the reasons why too, I really like Megaspore is that it doesn't need to be refrigerated. It's like, it's just easy to have around. But, the way you use it, you open the capsule, and for little ones, you can, the powder's flavorless, colorless. It's just a white powder. You can put it in a smoothie. You can sprinkle it on food, as long as we don't want food that's too hot or, too cold. So kind of like room temperature food. So you can sprinkle it on food. If your baby's nursing, you can add a pinch of it to breast milk or formula. And mom, if you're nursing, you can even like put a pinch around your nipple so the baby can, get it while nursing. So there are ways to get it into really little ones. And the other thing too that I really like about it, there's no, and I have clients that ask me about this. They're like, oh, do we throw the rest away? No, you don't have to throw it away. Save the rest for your next dose. No waste.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so what are some other, aside from that, do you have any other specific types of probiotics that, maybe might not be appropriate for everyone, but there is research that shows that it can be helpful in little ones who have eczema, or at least around the topic of eczema?
Yeah. So there really has. So like when it comes to probiotics for skin rashes, most of the research has been done around eczema. And so there are certain probiotics, which are actually bacterial strains that have been studied for this. So for example, some bifidobacterium strains, Breve and Longum in particular, studies have shown that giving those to mom during pregnancy and then giving them to mom and baby during the first 18 months of life may actually lower the incidence of eczema. And then another one is, it's a lactobacillus strain, so a rhamnosus. So some research has shown that mom, if mom takes this during pregnancy, that can lower baby's chances of developing eczema for the first 11 years of life.
Wow.
Yeah, and that it also might protect children from developing other allergic conditions like asthma, hay fever, and allergies. So those types of probiotics have been particularly studied for eczema. The interesting thing is, though, I have used those in some clients, and I just haven't seen as good results as I get with the spore-based probiotics, which I find really interesting.
Yeah. It is really interesting. And I've also seen other studies, like I was at a conference and the gentleman presenting, was from a probiotic formulation company, and he does a lot of research around probiotics, and he was presenting very similar data that there is, especially for women who are thinking about getting pregnant, right, or who are pregnant, that probiotic supplementation can be incredibly helpful. So it's important to realize that the whole preconception plan of like how you want to to give your baby the best shot possible really does begin before you start trying. And it's important to think about, like, not just nutrients, but also probiotics and the microbiome. It's really, really important. And I want to just touch on briefly before we wrap up, because we have a couple minutes left, about the benefits of prebiotics, because we've talked about prebiotics for adults on the show. And a couple of interesting points, actually, about this gentleman who I was talking about, who was discussing probiotics, who's saying that, like, breast milk can actually pass. It has some prebiotic qualities to it, but prebiotics are important because they help foster growth in the gut microbiome. But what happens when mom becomes afraid? And, you know, there's times where we go, well, maybe these veggies are bad or these veggies are bad, and we start limiting prebiotics. So what are your thoughts on prebiotics?
So prebiotics are an important component of a gut protocol. So again, you know, it's these things individually do not a gut protocol make. So we have to make sure to take everything into account. So with prebiotics, I don't always supplement with prebiotics, and they're prebiotic foods, so I'll talk about that too. But so depending on what I see in the stool test, if somebody has low levels of good gut bugs, I will likely recommend a prebiotic. If I don't see any low levels of anything in there, I will not recommend a prebiotic. So prebiotics are different from probiotics. Probiotics are actually introducing those live organisms, whereas prebiotics feed our good gut bugs. So they're fiber, you know, it's so foods like our Jerusalem artichoke, garlic, onions, chickpeas, lentils, beans, grapefruit, almonds, you know, flaxseed. So this is one of the reasons why, you know, it's important to have a well-rounded diet, as well-rounded as possible, and why I start to worry about folks that aren't eating prebiotic, like fibrous foods, because these feed our good gut bugs. So what's important to understand about why we need to feed our good gut bugs is that what they do is produce anti-inflammatory short-chain fatty acids. So short-chain fatty acids, butyrate, is an example of one that actually communicates with the skin microbiome. And so these short-chain fatty acids also help regulate what's happening with the immune system. Mm. They lower the production of toxins from gut bugs. When we have skin rashes, we have gut hyperpermeability. It's not just food particles that, you know, that get out and start caught, which is, by the way, where food sensitivities come from, right? So it's not just food particles that end up becoming triggers, but we're also getting toxins from gut bugs that get out into the bloodstream, trigger the immune system, and the immune system starts, you know, having these inflammatory responses. So these short-chain fatty acids, again, made by good bugs when we eat prebiotic fiber, help reduce levels of toxins from the gut bugs. The short-chain fatty acids help suppress inflammatory immune responses, and they actually help increase levels of certain immunoglobulins in the gut, which helps strengthen the immune system. And so again, all of this is really important to consider because of the connections between the skin and the gut. So if somebody does not need supplementation, you know, and again, I base that based on what I see in the stool test. So if that's the case, then I will recommend, okay, let's, you know, just make sure that we're eating these foods in the diet. So, you know, when we're talking, and we always want to do a food first approach too. So, you know, let's get the good stuff in through the diet. You know, let's help the little one expand their diet. Let's introduce them to these healthy foods, which can be tricky. Little ones are picky eaters, you know, so that can be an issue also, but let's introduce them to these good, healthy foods so that their guts, you know, have the fuel that they need so that these bugs can proliferate.
Yeah. And I'm sure too, this must be a concern with, like, And we don't have to go in depth on this because obviously we're getting close to the end here. You know, if mom is thinking about potentially putting her really little one on like a carnivore type diet where there is no fermentable starches in the diet at all, you know, I don't know that we have, and I don't know what your final thoughts, if you want to weigh in on that, are. I don't feel like we have enough data, because I do work with adults who've done carnivore to try to get results. And just for everybody listening, carnivore works for some people. It doesn't work for everyone. So I know that everyone sees all these photos on the internet now of, oh my gosh, carnivore cleared up my skin. It did this for me. Well, that's a small segment of the population. It doesn't work for everyone. Just like every diet has that. Some, it works for some, doesn't work for others. And I don't think right now we currently have enough research to truly understand the pros and the cons of that approach. That's sort of where I'm sitting on the fence at. However, the carnivore stool tests that I've seen have been pretty big train wrecks, I will be honest. But again, that's just my clinical perspective. I'm not anti-carnivore. I don't promote any specific diet, but what are your thoughts, Jen, just on that as a final closing thought, if mom's considering carnivore for a little one?
It's not something that I recommend. And, you know, for those reasons that you mentioned, we don't have enough research on it. It hasn't been around long enough. I do believe, and I have seen, you know, that it works for some people for some conditions, for example, cancer, you know, like I've seen it work well for people that are struggling with cancer. However, when we're talking about what's happening on the skin and what's happening in the gut, you know, a few things that lead to gut hyperpermeability, you know, one of them in particular is high fat diets. And so if somebody's eating, you know, a heavy fatty diet and it's hard to digest, you know, that increases inflammation in the gut, increases gut hyperpermeability or leaky gut, which is an underlying problem with rashes. So you get rashes and rash flares. The other thing that concerns me about the carnivore diet when we are talking about skin is that pretty much, I would say not quite 100%, but probably like 95%, if not like 98% of the clients that I see have issues with digestion. So we don't have levels of digestive enzymes needed to break down proteins. When we are not breaking down our food appropriately, it sits in the gut. You know, protein can putrefy, right? And we get excess toxins, we get overgrowth of gut bugs that are feeding on it because we're not breaking it down. So it's just a very heavy diet. And, you know, for skin rashes, I have seen it make things worse. Again, not for everybody, but I have seen that happen. I've also worked with people where, you know, okay, you know, unwilling to change the diet, let's give it a try. And I haven't seen it work, you know, and that includes giving digestive enzymes along with it. You know, I think it's just really important. And this goes back to also kind of where we started in the beginning, which is we do not want to see kids on a restrictive diet. Mm-hmm. Children are growing and developing. They need nutrients from a wide range of sources. And, you know, restricting the diet so far as to only include like one food group, I think can be very detrimental, not just to what's happening in the gut microbiome, but for growth and development as well.
Yeah. And it can also create food fear as kids grow up as well. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation for another time. But Jen, I really appreciate you coming on the show. Can you share with everybody, what is the name again of your guide?
So my guide is called Guide to Probiotics for Skin Rashes.
Perfect. And they can get that on your website. I'm going to put the direct link in the show notes. So for anyone tuning in, you can head over there. Jennifer's website is jenniferkierenbrand.com. I will have all of her social media links and everything so you can connect with her there. As I said, the reason I love having her on the show is because for every single request I get into my practice, when it's mom or dad being like, hey, we are, you know, little kid or our baby is having issues, I send them directly to Jen. I don't work with that population. She specializes in this. She loves working with parents and helping them troubleshoot these issues and find solutions for their little ones so that they can all finally get some relief. And she's a really amazing, brilliant nutritionist that I count as not just a colleague, but also a good friend. So I thank you so much, Jen, for being here, and I hope we can have you back sometime.
Thank you so much for having me. I love being here, and I would love to come back.
I really hope that you enjoyed this conversation. I know I certainly did, and even in my adult practice, probiotics have been incredibly helpful. So if you're looking for the resources that Jennifer has shared, you can head on over to skinterrupt.com/178 to check out all of the links and tools that she's happy to share with you. That way, if you want to test out something like Megaspore or whatever, you have a really easy way to do so. And while you're there, if you've got any questions or thoughts that you would love to share about this episode, please make sure to leave them so we can keep the conversation going. And of course, you guys know, I always ask you to share. So if you know other parents who are really struggling and are looking for some alternative tips to help their little ones manage and hopefully make a huge improvement, right? Because that's always the goal. We want little ones to have a good quality of life, not to be suffering with skin rashes. You got to share this episode with them because it may be a real game changer. It may provide them some insight that they've really never heard before and also potentially connect them with all the great work that Jennifer does in her practice. And one final ask before you head off to your day, because I know you're busy, take a moment, go over to wherever you're listening to, whatever podcast platform of choice, rate and review The Healthy Skin Show, and leave your experience about either this episode or the show in general, why you love it, why it's been helpful for you. That way you can help inspire somebody else to take a listen because it might actually change their life. So hearing your words is really meaningful for other people searching for new podcasts to tune into. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.